Good morning. Happy Mojo Monday.
Good morning. Happy Mojo Monday. Great to have everybody with us. My name is Carrie, and I have my co-host, Lori, with me today. How you doing today, Lori?
I'm doing great. Hi, everybody.
Hello, hello. We have our special guest, Scott, that's going to be with us today talking about astral projection. What I like to do to get it going is just have a little meditation to ground ourselves and get everybody on the same tune and just to relax and let the universe flow through us. So everybody can just get comfortable wherever you're at and have some nice breathing into your heart. Become aware of your heart and take some calming breaths. Expansive breaths into your heart chakra. And just breathe with that. And once you feel that stillness, think of an intention you'd like to manifest in your day today. Be it love, gratitude, abundance, awareness, anything you'd like to have more of in your day. Think of that intention. And I want to, in your mind's eye, for you to plant that like a seed in the ground underneath your feet. And now with each breath, send that love and intention as that seed grows down. And you feel the roots growing down into Mother Earth. And you feel that life force guiding, birthing your intention, feeding you. Allow those feelings of love and abundance that Mother Earth gives us and provides us every day. Allow that to seep into you now. Breathe it in and pull it up through your roots into your body, pulling it up through all of your chakras with each breath, lighting up your body and your chakras, filling you with love and vitality. And pull it all the way up to the top of your head and see the top of your head, your crown chakra, opening like a beautiful flower, beautiful lotus. And allowing the light from the universe to come through the top of your head and feel it penetrating you like the branches of a tree and the leaves coming into the top of your head, basking in divine light, pure energy, love, and the highest vibration. Allow that to recycle down through your chakras. Now as you're breathing in, you're breathing in this beautiful light from above, and pulling in this beautiful energy from Mother Earth and letting it cycle through your body. And allow this feeling to penetrate your consciousness now. This conscious breath. Allow yourself to enjoy that feeling. And now I want you to breathe again into your heart center and breathe out these feelings of love, these intentions, all of this energy out to the rest of the world. Imagine everyone breathing consciously together in unity and love. Carry this vision with you throughout your day, anytime. You should come back to your body now. Keep that conscious awareness of the ability to breathe with earth and the heavens in conscious connection with all of mankind. One breath, and one energy. Namaste. All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us with that. It's so important to remember to tune in and ground ourselves and connect with the energy of the universe. Are you having a great start to your week, Lori?
Oh, yeah. Feeling wonderful.
Awesome. Well, we're going to talk about astral projection today. Would you like to share any of your experiences, Lori, on that subject or what you know about it?
Mainly what I know about it is just from experience, many experiences. From a very early age, I would just out of waking up and to just remembering where I was, I can't really explain like the timing behind it, but I would definitely go to places. I would just beautiful, beautiful places, places that I've been to before in younger years. Just the soul, even just my soul leaving the physical body and just so many places I can't even begin to explain. There's too many of them, but I've done it several times in my life. I can't really explain a whole lot about, you know, actually how I'm actually doing it, but I just know that several times in my life that I would come back to my body and be just amazed and wow and awe. I'd wake up in that state. I mean, I don't know. Everybody's different, but I can tell you that's just me. I've talked to a few other people that have experienced the same, that are close to me, that I grew up with, and just it's just something that is really a beautiful, beautiful gift, I feel, to have been able to share with people. But some of the places I've gone to, just traveling back into places where I've grown up, places I've traveled to, friends, just that's pretty much all I really can tell you. I don't really know how to explain it.
Awesome.
It's just a beautiful, beautiful scenes that I can tell you.
Right.
It's breathtaking. That's really how I explain it.
And I like what you said as well, that everyone's different and each experience is unique. You know, I've never had any projection that was the same. You know, it was different feelings, different settings, you know, different energy. It was, you know, it's amazing. And it's that experience when you really realize what's really going on around us that a lot of the time we're sleeping. I always feel that when we're projecting, when we're astral projecting, it's when we're awake. Like, it's when we're most awake. You know, we're most connected to the energy and our abilities. And somehow we've been able to shut off the mind that's connected to this 3D material world that has all of these limitations, you know, when it comes to physics and laws of the universe. Our energies and what we're capable of are much more than our rational mind has allowed us to believe. And we've believed those things, and that's why we're limited by gravity and the things that we think we're limited by. But I've had experiences that show me that that's just not true, you know. And one that I'll share is brief because I really want to introduce Scott and let him share his stories, and then we can all collaborate. But my first really vivid, where I can describe it well for other people, I was 16. And I was laying in my bed, and I was listening to the sound of the cars going by the window, and it was really melodic, like it really was very peaceful. And I was meditating. I mean, I was meditating before I really knew what meditating was at this point in my life, you know. And I was really meditating and getting into that space of just ethereal energy and peace and oneness. And I was just breathing in the connection of all things. You know, it was just that feeling of divine connection and beauty. And then in that moment, I started rising out of my body, and I felt myself lifting. And it was such a feeling of splendor and just exquisite fun, you know, just this light feeling of just brilliance coming through me. And I was raising up and I was just in awe, you know, just wonder. And I was in a bunk bed. So as I approached the second bed, I thought to myself, oh, what am I going to do when I get to the bed? And then I was right back into my body again. And I was like, oh. And I felt myself fall. I felt that feeling of, you know, going back in. And I was just amazed. I was like, wow, what just happened? You know, what was that? And I had always believed, I'd always gone on these magical things when I was young, and I would always, you know, go exploring and when I was really little and go off into the forest and in the meadows and, you know, go on these journeys on my own. But never had I had something at such an age when my cognitive, you know, rationale was so developed that I could describe it and that there was, you know, things that I could attend it to. Because the minute I limited myself by the fact that I was going to hit that other bed, that's when I went back into my body. And that's what we do. You know, this mind of ours keeps us trapped in. And it's pretty funny, you know, when I think back of it now. And I laughed, but I laughed then, you know, I was laughing. I was like, what just happened? That was awesome. But even then, I, you know, at 16, I realized my mind brought me back because I started to doubt, you know. I thought, oh, I can't pass the bed, even though I just obviously left my own body, you know. So it was really fun, and I began to play with it from that point on. I'd like to introduce Scott now so he can share his experiences, and then we can all kind of, you know, go from there and collaborate on, you know, where we've gone and our experiences and our journeys and, you know, some of the potentials that our ideas and dreams that we might have about where we can go. How's that sound, Lori?
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Bring them on.
Good morning,
Lori. Good morning, Scott. How are you?
How are you? Wonderful.
Very well. Thank you for being here with us.
Absolutely. And thank you for that beautiful meditation.
Oh, thank you. Blessings, my friend. We're really excited to hear about your experiences. I know you and I have had amazing conversations about the subject, and we're both really passionate about it. And Lori's really happy to have you on with us today.
Well, thank you again. You know, my journey has really kind of began, kind of awakening when I had the out-of-body experience that I intentionally tried to have. And it was interesting because at that time, this would be back in 1988, I was wandering through a bookstore in a mall and wasn't sure, just kind of browsing around. And I had really had no interest or thoughts about out-of-body experiences before. I really was in my infancy as to, you know, what I was interested in. I was unsure as to my belief system at that point. But all of a sudden, I stumbled across this book, and it was called How to Have an Out-of-Body Experience in 30 Days by an author by the name of Rick Stack. And, you know, I think what something drew me to the book, and I know there are no accidents or coincidences. I didn't know that then, but I know that now. And it was a very light read, so I purchased the book, and I went back home, and you could read the book in about, you know, 45 minutes to an hour, depending on how fast you wanted to read it. So I read the book, and then I just laid down in bed and just relaxed and went into a meditation and started to feel, well, the first thing I felt was a very high-pitched buzzing sound. And it's funny, even today, even right now, I can still hear it just at will. I can focus on it. And it's not tinnitus or something along those lines. It's something that I can just shift my focus on. But it got louder and louder and louder, and then I felt the vibrations starting. And then I started seeing the color purple. And then the next thing I knew, I was literally out of my body in my room looking down at my hand, and it was just vibrating like at this ultra-high frequency. And the best example I can give as to what my body seemed to look like was out of the movie Cocoon. If you remember the space alien, when they popped out and they were floating there and there's golden vibrating color, it was something along those lines. And I looked and I could not believe it because, I mean, this was not a lucid dream. This was really, I had completely separated from my body. And I remember floating out into the living room, and then much like what you had just described, Carrie, is I thought, oh, my God, you know, where's my body? And bam, I was right back in it. So it was an extremely brief experience. But it was so intense. And so, you know, immediately I tried to repeat it, and I couldn't repeat it right away. Subsequent to that, I'd love to say, like, some of the astral explorers, like, you know, that can do this all the time. I cannot do it all the time. But I have had some amazing lucid dream experiences and some other very fascinating experiences. But I think I tried to find the reason, you know, that it happened so easily the very first time I ever tried it, and why it's not been something I can replicate, at least not the same type of experience all the time. And the answer I keep getting is that was my introduction to the possibility that this is real. And it sent me on a journey to start investigating more about out-of-body experiences. And I got very interested in Robert Monroe, who was a businessman that had these spontaneous out-of-body experiences and became very proficient in it. And that's a fascinating story if you've ever want to read about somebody who was not interested in this stuff at all and was kind of thrust into it almost like I was, except in his case, he could pretty much go out of body at will anytime he had tried. So it set me on a path and a journey to develop my spirituality to where it is today. And I've since that time read, you know, dozens of books on astral projection and people's experiences with it. So I know it's real. And I think that was you know, people have had near-death experiences which were very similar in nature to a willful out-of-body experience. I mean, I think these are things that awaken us, our spirituality, to say, okay, now pay attention, because now you know it's real, and no, you can't go out and play all day in the astral at will necessarily, but you know it's possible. So, and that got me to open up and really start accepting that these things were real and possible.
Wow, how impactful. And we've taught, Scott, that, you know, you came from a very scientific background in your life, you know, the way your mind has been. So, you know, what an amazing journey for you to go on and an awakening to really bridge those two together. You know, how do you feel that that's opened things up for you in regards to how
you... Oh, absolutely. I mean, that the idea that it was even possible to do that, I think that's what my higher self or consciousness or God, whatever you want to call it, needed for me to learn. Is because if you can read about it, you can have, you know, feelings all you want, but unless you've actually done it and it's actually, it doesn't mean as much. And from a quantum physics standpoint, you know, when you read about metaphysics and quantum physics, they're virtually the same thing. They're basically the fact that, you know, matter can exist in different frequencies and different levels. And so there's nothing in hard science that doesn't allow for metaphysical circumstances like an out-of-body experience to occur or a near-death experience to occur. And so it really helped merge my spirituality with my, you know, three-dimensional scientific mind and realize that they're completely compatible. There's no reason that one has to conflict with the other because, you know, at so many different levels, they basically talk the same language.
See, I'm so glad. It's so glad to hear you saying that and, you know, to really reach people because they get so locked in, you know, in that scientific realm and thinking that we can explain everything. So truthfully, we can. It's the idea that we aren't limited, you know, by science. We're limited by false beliefs that science is limited, you know, and actually that they are related. And it is possible to be at two places at one time, you know, in an energy sense. And we are energy, you know, that there's really, to me, the only limitation is our mind, you know, and what we've allowed ourselves to believe. And we have these experiences where spirit, the universe, whatever your translation is finding a way to open up that consciousness, you know, to open up that creativity within us. And I think that's why all of our experiences, even though they're different, you know, they have that same quality of the minute you start thinking with your rational mind, you'll go back. You know, you come back to your body. And I think that's why some of the longest projections I've had have been in my really more sleepy states because I'm in such a calm place, you know, in my body and in my mind. I had this experience where the longest one that I've had, and it was actually unique in itself because it was the most awake experience I had, but I was in such a state of meditation and calm that I allowed myself to really go out of the building, out of where I was at, and I had another spirit with me. It was my first experience of having someone else's energy, and I don't know if it was a being from another realm or if it was someone else in this life, you know, that was astral projecting. I'm not sure because it didn't matter. And they came to where I was, and I astral projected out of my body, and we flew off, you know, and had an adventure. And that was the most interactive experience, and that really opened up another door for me in my consciousness that, you know, there really isn't limitation to what we can do, you know, once we allow ourselves, you know, to be that. But I like what you said, Scott, because, you know, I can't recreate that all the time, you know, like, I haven't learned to do that, you know, consciously all the time and get into that space, because I agree with what you said as well, that it's our path of learning and enlightenment, and I do believe spirit has, you know, a design for us that we're here to share and to learn. And because perhaps I'd be doing that all the time and not necessarily being in the, you know, realm in the body doing the things that I'm doing today. Because, you know, it really is, you know, one of the most fascinating and, you know, magical experiences I've ever had in my life, you know, and I would love to have more, and I'm looking forward to doing them more. But I know I have a lot of lucid dreaming, as you said. I believe when we sleep at night, we are doing it. You know, it's something that we are practiced in, and it's a part of how we learn and how we create. Because I am, you know, I ask people frequently if they fly in their dreams. Because I fly almost every dream that I have. You know, I'm flying. And I correlate that to, you know, having the astral projections, you know, because since I was very young, since I've been beginning to dream, I've always flown in my dreams. Do you have, what's your experiences with your dreams in that way? Are they similar to your projections or, you know, the experiences you've had?
They are, and one of the things that if you think about it, it makes a lot of logical sense. So when you astral project or when you're doing lucid dreaming, you tend to be vibrating at a much higher level. And I know some of my best lucid dreaming, I realized that I was in the dream, and if I thought of an object, it appeared immediately. Well, in third-dimensional reality, in our current reality, the same thing happens. It's just not immediate. But if you focus on something long enough, you know, eventually it manifests itself, and that's why there's so much emphasis on, you know, picturing things as if it had already happened, because it just takes a little while longer to manifest in this more dense reality, which makes sense because, you know, we're all on a journey of learning to some degree. If we could do it spontaneously like we can in the higher realms, it would be pretty chaotic because everybody's at a different stage of development, right? So
right.
I think that to me kind of jives with the scientific aspects of it too, so that, you know, just like any molecule, if you heat it up, it goes faster and faster and faster, and if you make it cool, it goes slower and slower and slower, a greater density. So I think, you know, these things go hand in hand, and that has definitely been my experience with flying and when you become aware that you can do it. But I do think that one of the reasons can't necessarily do it all the time is because it would really interfere with what you're here to learn in third-dimensional reality, because as you said, Carrie, it would be a heck of a lot more fun than most of the day-to-day stuff that we deal with in third-D reality.
Exactly. There's the kid in us that would just want to do it all the time. Lori, how are you, you know, your uptake on all this and your experiences with lucid dreaming and how it correlates to your experiences with astral projection or out-of-body experience?
Oh, gosh. It definitely goes hand-in-hand with one with the other. Every time I dream, or most of the dreams that I remember, every one of them, I was flying as well. And it's unique because although it'd be nice to be able to control it, I don't, you know, I just go to that state, but it's just the floating, just the experience of just lifting in that meditation, you know, I do a lot of meditation, and I also had the experience when I was younger, I wasn't realizing it was actually meditation when I would have those experiences, but one in particular, or a couple in particular, this past year alone, I would be just around my flying around my apartment. I'd be looking down. It was really unique. I'm looking at my black lab. I'm looking at my computer. I'm just all over the place. And then there was a time where I went pretty far. I was actually on hills, like foothills or a mountaintop, looking down at just nature, just beautiful, beautiful. I couldn't, like I said, it's so hard to describe, but it's just breathtaking. But the dreams, just the lucid dreams and just being just how I come back, it's hard to explain. I don't remember how I come back into my body. That part I don't get, but I just know that in that moment, it'd be nice if I could stay there, if I could do it all day long. But it's really a couple different things that I had that really stuck out with me that I remember. But I remember pretty much all of it, I think.
I was just going to add that, you mentioned, when you're little, you can remember as a little girl, it's very common for children they astral project all the time, and they may not always remember it, but it's very natural to them. And so as we get older, that's where we get so enamored with living in third dimensional reality that we forget that we have those other types of abilities. It's also why children oftentimes can see ghosts, because they can actually interact with them because they're still on that frequency. So a few are blessed to be able to carry that with them throughout their entire life, but as we said, there's probably a reason that we don't, because it would interfere with what we're here to learn in this dimension.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting because and I'm similar to you, Scott. Since I was young, I've spirits, and I've always, through my life had that, that gift and that energy that I carried through. There was a time when I didn't use it. I did shut it off for a little bit consciously in the realm of channeling or, being, interacting with spirits and things like that for my time. And I focused a lot on energy healing and creating healing within my consciousness and myself and my being to raise that vibration. And I think that goes along with what you said, that we're here to learn different things, not just one, not to just perfect one thing. We're here to learn, there's so many facets to our consciousness, and our abilities, that if we had, if I could astral project every day, I probably would, I know me enough to know I probably would just be flying all around. And, and my higher self knows that, and it's wise. But, the beauty of these experiences is one of the ones I had that of recent was I was in a meditation and I was going through all of my chakras and I was doing the balancing. And that'll be another show that we talk about. But when I'm doing those meditations, we talk about our energy centers. It is a very important integral part of our energy and our consciousness to keep those chakras balanced, because it creates imbalance in our physical world. So I was doing my regular, chakra balancing and meditation, and then I was conscious of this beautiful light in my heart, just above my heart. And I've, come to learn about your threefold flame and your I am consciousness. And, it was this beautiful aqua light that just started glowing and getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and it was different than my chakras. And I was playing with this light, and then I felt, my whole body expanding. And then I thought to myself, well, I bet I could just, go out of my body right now, consciously in this moment. And the difference about this moment was I felt myself literally like crawling out of my crown chakra. And it was such a conscious decision, and I was still so within myself and my being. It was different than the other one, to where I really felt every movement, every second, every, millisecond of myself, my being coming out of my body, that I started to get so wowed, exclamatory, that I was right back in my body, but it was an amazing experience of how each time your consciousness can stay within, it's this idea, I think I used to think that I had to get into this other realm, but really it's about just being present, because I believe our potentials and what we can do. It's always the same at any time. It's just our ability to align with it is not all the time. And each experience that I have, like, opens up a new door so that it's never the same, you know, because we're never the same 1 second to the next. You know, we've changed. Our consciousness has shifted. So from the first time, I mean, as you mentioned, Scott, when I was young, I had these experiences all the time, and it was part of my life. You know, but really it's because I trusted life and the universe, and I had a whole, you know, relationship that I didn't worry about what the rest of the world thought or any of the responsibilities we take on as ego as we get older, you know. So now I feel like it's like we're recreating that. We're learning a way to recreate that, like to still have these responsibilities that we feel we take on as adults, but to still be able to create that space of creativity, you know, of this connection, of this relationship with the universe where we can play like we did when we were kids. You know, we created these experiences and we exchanged with them. We allowed ourselves to be open, and then we allowed ourselves to bathe in it, you know, to say. And now it's like, as adults, it's how do we create that space to let ourselves play and explore, you know, with our energies and with the experiences. Because when we were younger, we weren't always trying to recreate the same experience. We accepted if it was different and we had fun with it, you know. And I think as adults, we get real, you know, we're very repetitive, you know. We like our sameness, you know. It's something that gives us comfort. But, you know, in reality, energy is expansive. It's not the same, you know, and we're never the same. So if we can be fluid with that and allow it, you know, to explore, you know, and become, there's so much we learn. And when I've learned to do that, you know, because for a long time I was really hung up on recreating the same things. When I've learned to expand more and allow spirit to show me these different experiences and these different ways of being, you know, my imagination runs wild because I really, you know, the older I get now, and I'm going with this awareness that I don't believe there's any limitations, you know, that whatever those dreams are, we eventually will learn to create. But I love what you said, Scott, about it being at a slower pace in real life, because as you mentioned with your story, you manifested. You put the intention, okay, I want to have this experience, and you went and bought a book, and you read, and then you created your experience. You know, that is manifestation and intention right there at its finest. But I love, you know, that's why I love your scientific mind to say, you know, this is a denser reality. It takes a little longer to catch up. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say that, and I know we want to get some callers on, but the experience that you had when you focused on you started analyzing what was happening and you jumped right back in your body, that's probably the most common issue that people have when they try to have an out-of-body experience, is once your third-dimensional mind starts to analyze what's actually happening. And that's happened to me too numerous times. Just when I'm about ready to come out, I start thinking about, now, kind of scientifically, now what's happening to, and boom, I'm right back in. You have to pretty much just let go and not think, if you will, just be and just observe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a state that I've mastered, unfortunately, yet, but if all the books and things that I've read as well, that seems to be one of the common challenges that people have when they don't just be and they start trying to analyze the situation.
Absolutely, and that's why I believe when we're kids, we can have so much, you know, we have such vast experiences because we are just being, you know, we're not hung up in what we did yesterday or what we're going to do tomorrow. You know, we're really just here having fun and experiencing. And I believe, you know, we can resonate with that as adults. You know, we can be that way and still be effective in our lives, you know, still share and still learn and still grow. But we, you know, we allow ego to really lock us into ways of being and preventing, you know, that time. Because, as you just said, every experience that I've had, except for the one that I told you I really did let go and I was flying with another being, and that was an amazing experience. You know, that was really, to me, almost like a foreshadowing of future, how we'll learn to be, you know. That's what that showed me, that we can be open and really have exchanges with other beings, you know, in this dimension, in this time, that are allowing themselves to be in the same space. You know, and that was the most interactive experience I'd had. We don't have callers right now, so we are free to chat as long as we want.
Okay.
Lori, have you had experiences similar to what Scott and I are talking about. Like, did your experience, was your experience ever halted by your mind, like, questioning?
Yes. But one thing that, that Scott mentioned about, you know, the early childhood and seeing spirits and all that, there is a story I'd like to share. I remember a lot of things from my early childhood, between 4 and 5 years old. This was Bedford, Texas. And I believe I told you this story, Carrie, a while back. I thought that, I asked my mother, I said, Mommy, why do you keep getting me out of bed at 2, 3 in the morning, walking me around the house? And, well, I was actually out of my body because I would be returned to my body. I would be walking around with a spirit in my house. And it was, I actually believe to this day, it was my Aunt Bonnie. Because she had passed, her and my mom were twins, basically. She had passed 2 years before I was born. And it was just a repeated thing. It would happen quite a bit. We'd just go travel. We'd go together. And there was a couple of experiences I've had. There was one time that I was in a pool outside. I mean, she pulled me out of the pool. I could have drowned. Nobody was around. I mean, there's a lot of things that I remember just on and on, and nobody knew what I was talking about. They didn't understand it.
Wow.
But that's a pretty young age.
Well, you know, that's a sad thing, Lori, is that, you know, people, when they hear children having these kind of conversations with, you know, special friends and play friends, and, you know, they don't take into consideration that they could actually, and probably are actually, seeing and interacting with other spirits and other beings.
Yeah.
And then the poor children are taught, oh, no, that's just your play friend. You know, don't, you know, you can't do that, or that's not real. Well, that immediately begins then the process of shutting down the belief system that you can actually do it. And I think unfortunately that happens so often with parents, and they don't necessarily mean anything bad by it, but they're not open to the other possibilities.
Yeah, that is correct. I have that too.
That's a perfect example of what you both shared, that, you know, our programming that begins to happen and closing off that creative center, you know, that open center that we have. Because like you said, you know, you both shared, it's very common for children to have imaginary friends, but are they imagined or are they, you know, aware? You know, are they conscious of what, you know, adults have learned to shut off? And I really believe that it's, you know, one of my visions and my dreams to have a place for children where I teach them to stay, you know, to keep that center open, you know, to play with it, to expand and not let, you know, the rest of the world shut that off. You know, to never let anyone else tell you, you can't do that, or don't listen, you know, don't talk to your imaginary friends. Like, no. You know, allowing them to really harness their abilities, because I believe that when we're young, it's when it's the strongest. You know, we're born awake, we're born knowing, and we're born with these abilities. And then through time, as Scott, you know, as Lori shared in real time, and Scott shared that, you know, we're told, you know, this isn't okay, you know, this isn't normal, you know, this isn't good, you know, and we start to believe it, like we start to believe, okay, I know for me I did, well, I just kind of knew not to tell anybody, you know, somehow from a young age I knew, okay, people don't see these things and they don't know, so I'm not going to tell anybody, you know, and it's funny now that my sisters and I talk about it, now that we're older, because we have similar gifts. And we never talked to each other about it really either. Like, we knew, you know, we had this really deep connection, and we would talk about things other people didn't. But we still didn't share these amazing experiences we were having, you know, because that's how ingrained fear can be from such a young, you know, such a young age to even the people that you're really closest with. You're still afraid to tell, you know, because it is a really known thing that paranormal isn't normal. You know, even in, as the name suggests, you know, something opposite of normal. And, you know, truthfully, I think it's the most truth that we have, you know, is our connection to that. And, you know, I'm grateful that we're doing shows like this and we have outlets to talk, our spiritual, you know, communities, because a lot of people, you know, don't know what's going on or even know the names of some of the things. I'm sure people are having these experiences and they don't even know what the name of it is, you know, or even that it's that's what's happening. You know, and they don't probably have outlets in their community or their social network to really reach out and find out. But that is the great thing about these, you know, these forums that are being created, and that they can communicate, you know, as Scott and I do a call on Thursday evenings. It's a beautiful spiritual circle. If anyone wants to find the information, just contact me about it. You know, and that's what we do. We talk about, you know, what's going on in our lives. You know, there's really no area that you can't talk about. And I think the more that we're creating these spaces for people, you know, that's going to open our awareness and our ability, you know, to feel comfortable and to not be afraid and allow the universe, you know, to grow within us and let our ability grow.
And I think that's so much more important even today. I think so many people, even those that aren't necessarily interested in the metaphysical, you can almost sense that there is a huge shift in this reality right now with what's going on with the world and everything. And there's a lot of fear out there for what's going on, but there's a lot of awakening, and that's what is the beautiful part about being able to bond through calls like this and others. And I think it's almost like we're beginning to rejoin into one spirit. And that's why perhaps we're able to manifest things like out-of-body experiences more frequently, or remember past lives and start communicating openly about these things and say it's okay. You know, these are real things. These are fine. And you don't have to paint yourself into a corner and say, well, because of my religion, I can't believe that or not. No, it's not about a religion. It's just about an awakening of our spirit. Whatever you might have related to that, your religion doesn't matter to the core of spirit.
Absolutely. And I love that you said that, because it does feel that way. Like, wherever I work, whatever I end up doing, you know, I'm very open with the people I work with or the people in my circles, and however far reaching it is. You know, I'm not afraid to say, well, you know, I'm a psychic intuitive, Reiki master, life coach, and blah, blah, blah. And people will ask me, well, do a reading for me. And, you know, and I see their eyes. You know, when you speak to them and you share and you open that seed, they go, wow, you know. I just had somebody, it actually helps you grow too, because you get put on the spot, you know, and so it's like, okay, and it teaches you to let go and not be afraid of what, you know, you're going to say or what you feel. But I had a gentleman who's a cook at my restaurant, and my friend was like, you know, she can read you, blah, 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 and I was like, oh, gosh, and then he's like, would you? And I could tell that he really wanted it, so I did. You know, I took his hand, and it came in, and his eyes opened up, and, you know, it's amazing what you help people, you know, rejoin with, and that's why I don't keep things secret anymore, because by you keeping it secret, it's like you're not allowing spirit to shine out of people's lives, too, and I've realized that, and so it's about humility, because it's about not being afraid to be who we are, you know, and to shine our gifts and our light out to each other, because we're here to, you know, we're here to help each other. We're here to share, like, what we're doing today. You know, it's a blessing, you know, not something we have to be cautious of, I guess is a really good word to use. How are you with the people you interact with, Scott? How do you find on your three-dimensional level in life? You know, does it come up? Or, you know, have you had experiences where you have to be careful?
You know, it's very interesting that you mention that. It's funny because in my, you know, regular work, you know, in healthcare, I've been a healthcare administrator for many years, and, you know, a very professional level, but inevitably, I begin talking about some of these things, and people that, you know, even when I'm in the professional workplace, and all of a sudden people go, you know, I've had something similar like that happen to me. So I don't really try to hide it. I find that other people then get very interested in talking about their own experiences. You know, I keep it separate. Obviously, when you have to focus on business, you can't go wandering off into the astral. But you know, when you're, you know, casually talking about these things, other professionals you work with that are at levels, you know, beyond me, that are senior leadership even beyond where I was at, in the hospital system, also have interest in this. And that's what's fascinating. If you have never read the Robert Monroe books about astral projection, this guy was a very successful businessman in the 1950s and had done a whole bunch of radio shows and everything. And he was scared when he first, because he wasn't trying to have an out-of-body experience, he just did it. And so he actually went to the doctor and thought he had a brain tumor. Anyway, it takes you through his whole story. But this was a very third-dimensional guy. But he was obviously supposed to awaken and write these books because, you know, this guy was super wealthy. He didn't need the money. It wasn't like he was writing the books for it. And yet other people, he thought, he worked for NBC at a very senior executive level at one time, and he thought people, when they read the books, would start saying, God, he's really out there. But what he found was the opposite. A lot of other people started coming out and saying, I'm so glad you wrote those books because, you know, my wife's had similar types of astral projections like you're talking about. So he wasn't poo-pooed at all and didn't do any harm to his career whatsoever.
And that's the thing. I think that has a lot to do with our journey of trust and learning to be humble and flow with the universe, because these situations, these occurrences are just going to increase, as we were talking about, Scott. The vibration is speeding up. You know, the fact that we can go on our computer and link in to, you know, conversations like these. I mean, it used to take people so much effort and time that we're having, you know, awarenesses like we are now, you know, 100 years ago, you know, what they had to do what we are doing today, and we can manifest it almost instantly, you know. The vibration is much higher, and, the importance of us to be open, you know, is essential to our growth, but each other's, because we create, like all of us co-creating right now, you know, we're speeding up the energy. We're producing a higher vibration as we're coming together and talking, you know, and I love this experience that you shared, because it's so amazing when you're out there and you're free, you know, you allow spirit to flow through you and you feel that energy of someone else going, thank you. You know, you've helped them believe, you know, you've helped them trust themselves. And then they'll carry it out and do the same. You know, it's such a beautiful synchronization. You know, I love picturing that. That's why I want it in my meditation, you know, in the mornings. I see everyone holding hands across the world and, you know, the whole world lighting up in violet and white light. You know, that idea that we're all together. You know, we're all shining this light together. And that we don't have to be afraid. You know, and every step we take and every choice, you know, to be true to ourselves is helping, you know, all of humanity do the same. You know, that's the best thing we can do is honor ourselves and not stifle who we are. What's been your experience, Lori, with, you know, keeping, you know, because I know you have two different jobs like I do, and, you know, your experience with how you, you know, let that flow? Or
I share with everybody that I work with. They actually find it privileged. You know, there's some of them, they're not really into it, or they're shut out, or they limit themselves, and the rest are like, really? And they have questions and share a lot of things, you know, similar things. A couple people that I connect very well with, I've helped, and even clients that come to me about this and share, and I've helped them through a lot of those, you know, similar situations. So like, really? I'm so glad I have an outlet to come to and your blessing, and, you know, which that's, I feel that's what the universe has had in store for me to, you know, the direction I've been pulled in for many years. And a certain time in my life, I kind of shut it out, wasn't really listening at that time. But now the awareness is in full swing, and just it's a blessing to be able to share, because I think I've opened up a lot of people and you know, helping in their awakening as well. So, because I definitely had a lot of help with mine, and just grateful for, you know, I was halfway there, but then I feel that the move, the transitions that I've made have brought me to the level that I need, that I am at. And I'm still growing, of course, and learning every day. But it's just, it's gotten me, you know, the humbling moments to be able to taking a step back and reevaluating the day. I'm like, wow, that person really, all I did was just go to work today, and this is what came about while I was there. So that it just, once again, it's hard work, can't really describe.
Exactly.
Unless
that's awesome.
You have this experience.
You know,
that's
as you and Lori and Carrie were both of you were talking, the vision that I kept getting in my mind was that of a dragonfly nymph. You know, the crystallisis metamorphosis that they go through when here they are living in water, and then all of a sudden something begins to change, and they're flying into a whole different reality in the air, a whole different world. And that's kind of the vision that I get as to what's happening to us as humanity, is that as we raise our vibrations, that we are getting closer and closer to some kind of major shift, almost like the shift of a butterfly or the shift of a dragonfly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There's a reason I wear a dragonfly every day. And it's absolutely true. I love that you said that, Scott. Because it's funny. I had this meditation one day, and it made me laugh because it kind of reminded me of our human predicament. And, you know, I use nature a lot to just remind me of the truth constantly. You know, it's a great re-energizer for me. But I was realizing, you know, that the dragonfly doesn't land on the lily pad and look in the water and regret, you know, where it come from. You don't see dragonflies trying to dive into the water and, you know, go underwater again. You know, they look and they reflect and they fly away, you know, grateful and being, you know, being who they are today. And, you know, I thought that as like exactly, you know, as we learn to fly and just to be, you know, and embrace that and share it with each other. You know, when we learn to relax and let go, you know, when we learn not to dwell, when we learn to just appreciate where we're at today and what we're learning and we're growing, you know, what a beautiful thing. And we're here to help each other through that because, you know, unlike nature, for us, it's, you know, tearing away of ego is a very painful process for people. You know, and I believe spirit gives us these, you know, these out-of-body experiences because you feel no pain. I mean, it's a complete moment of bliss for those who haven't experienced it. And for those that have, know exactly what I'm saying. You feel utterly weightless. I mean, you feel full of spirit, full of life, full of vitality, you know, to the point where you start to question it and then you come back, you know, because, you know, there is no word to describe that feeling. You know, the closest thing I can come to it is that feeling you feel when we all just talked about helping somebody else, that feeling that we have, you know, inside that exchange. You know, Scott, we've talked about it. Lori, we've talked about it, and I've shared with you guys, like, when you feel someone else's heart open and their mind open and you see their gratitude in their eyes, and their hope and their belief. There's no amount of money that can ever equal that feeling. For me, the abundance of that, you know, the pleasure and the happiness that I feel when you know someone else is touched in the spirit and they feel that life force. It's such a beautiful feeling.
Absolutely.
Couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah, it's interesting that it's funny how we can all come from these different walks of life and our jobs can be vastly different. But, you know, the common thread now happening with light workers and, you know, I believe we're all light workers. It's just people are at different, you know, consciousness of understanding and where they're at, as Scott mentioned earlier. But that at the bottom of it, that's what the source of it is for. You know, the source of it is, you know, I do what I love to do most is to just share and teach. And the feeling you get back from that is really the reward of what it is for me, you know. I always ask the universe to help me be just, you know, abundant in wealth so that I can just share and teach and grow without even the thought of the money coming back because it's more of the idea of the giving that makes me feel so good, you know, and seeing someone else feel, you know, empowered, you know, feel like they know more about who they are. That is the most priceless gift. And I feel like these out-of-body experiences are the universe's way of, like, opening up our senses. You know, for me, it was huge. And I love that Scott shared that same thing. Like, that really was my beginning of, wow, you know, there's really so much out there. And there's so much we can share and so much we can learn. And I love that, you know, I have to read that, Robert Monroe. I haven't read his book, you know, that he came from such a scientific background. He came from such a business, you know, sense, linear. and the universe just opened, boom, here, you know, you're meant to do this. And I feel like it's like that for a lot of people. I'm sure, you know, that, you know, that's a great, it's one of my dreams, is do a documentary of people's spiritual, you know, their moment, their boom moment, you know, what made you just go, wow. And, you know, and then I think the common thread is the feeling is to share it. The feeling is to, you know, pass it on, take it forward, so to speak. You know, I don't really think, you know, what do you both feel about that? You know, that sense of giving is like the most amazing feeling that I've ever felt in the universe.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, today, actually, before the show started, about an hour before the show started, I was helping somebody, a client, and I said, look, I said, there's no, I don't, you don't have to, I said, this is on me. I said, she offered me a significant amount of money. I said, look, I said, there's some things that I want to share with you that it's right in front of you. You're not seeing it. And it was just so plain as day, and it came through the messages, and so I hung up with her, and I emailed her, and she told me, she was just flabbergasted. She was really amazed and thanked me, and just the feeling and the emotion that I could feel behind, you know, what she, the recognition that she, you know, she was finally recognizing some things that I had brought to her attention. And she said, this whole time, I said, yes, ma'am, this whole time. And so just that and a few other experiences that I've had with people and just seeing watching them do the shift that we all, you know, that we all got already gone through and, you know, bringing us to certain levels and in our lives. And it's just, it's amazing. It's a blessing to be able to do that. I enjoy doing it. And no amount of money can replace the warm feelings that I get from seeing somebody, you know, that brings out a lot of light and happiness in them that they didn't think that they had.
Yeah, and I had never thought about it before, Carrie, until you said it, to suggest how you can describe the feeling of an out-of-body experience, of the pleasure that you get from it, until you just described the beautiful way we feel when we give unconditionally and we make someone else happy. That just never occurred to me before, but you're both right. That's a great way to define the feeling you get. It is the same, because when you help others unconditionally and make others happy and know you're making a difference in their lives, alleviating their pain, helping them learn something, it is just a wonderful, wonderful feeling. So thank you for that. I had never thought about that, and I think that's a great example.
Thank you both. And I never really thought about it until we had the show and actually, you know, thinking and feeling that and going, yes, that is the feeling. And I feel the longer we, you know, go on this journey and Spirit is speaking to us and we're opening up, you know, that's that connection that we're learning to have, you know, with ourselves and each other and the universe around us. And, you know, what a beautiful gift. I'm great. Like, every day I'm blown away more and more, you know. I just say thank you to the universe, because the gifts really are so limitless, and the energy we share and the love we all share is just a blessing to me. And I'm grateful for both of you. I know the time has come up to end the show, but I just want to thank you both. And Lori, for, you know, having the show every week, and Scott, you know, my dear friend. I've already had such amazing friends with and have so much love for you both. Thank you for making this such a great show today.
Blessings to you as well.
Yeah, blessing.
A happy Mojo Monday, everybody.
Happy Mojo Monday.
Absolutely. Happy Mojo Monday.
Namaste. Have a blessed day.
Namaste.
You as well, my friends.
Okay.